This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Arlene McMichael. Coming up, Gordon Evans talks with Alex Ross, the Republican candidate for the State House in the district that includes Kalamazoo. But first, we hear from Kalamazoo College's new president, Dr. Jorge Gonzalez. His first day was July 1st. His wife is a K graduate. Dr. Gonzalez has his own ties to Michigan. Both his master's and PhD were earned here. He's taught and been an administrator at small liberal arts colleges like K. Most recently, he was vice president of academic affairs at Occidental College in Los Angeles. Welcome to WMUK.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You were born and raised in Monterrey, Mexico, in the Northeast region. Can you paint a picture of that community for us?
Yeah, Monterrey is a large town. It's probably the second or third largest city in Mexico. It used to be a very industrial city. Now it's a very financial city as well. And yeah, I grew up there. Some of my childhood, in fact, I spent in the U.S. When I was a toddler, we spent a year in California. And then we also spent 1 year in East Lansing because my dad came to graduate school at Michigan State.
What did he study?
He studied marketing.
Tell me about how your family fits into that picture of Monterrey, Mexico.
Well, I have a very large family. On my mother's side, there were 13 brothers and sisters. On my father's side, there were four of them. And so I have tons of cousins. So growing up in Monterrey, my memories are always of family gatherings. And my own direct family, there's six of us. And I'm the oldest. There's five boys and one girl. My house was always packed with activity.
Is Monterrey, Mexico, considered an affluent city?
Yes, Monterrey is a relatively wealthy city within Mexico.
What did your father and mother do for a living?
My dad has a PhD in marketing. So he was a businessman all his life and worked in the brewery industry, another tied to Kalamazoo. Then he went into banking. Then he went into retail. And he was also a professor all his life.
Here's what's fascinating then about your story is that you grew up seeing poverty. Your family obviously did pretty well for themselves, but you had an emotional connection to that. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. My family had resources, but I saw poverty all around it. And so growing up, my conviction was that that poverty is something that could be eliminated, that if the government were to implement the right policies, a lot of those poor people would have many more opportunities than they had. So I decided I want to become an economist because by implementing the right policies, we're going to be able to reduce poverty in Mexico. So that's what I did. I went to school to become an economist. When I finished my bachelor's degree, I decided I wanted to get a PhD in economics. So I came to the U.S., I came to Michigan State to get my PhD in economics because I wanted to learn more economics, to go back to Mexico, work in government, to implement good policies to reduce poverty. What happened at Michigan State is at some point I had the opportunity to teach a class in my fourth year. And I remember people asking me, do you want to teach a class? And I said, no, you know, I want to be a politician. I'm not sure I really want to teach. After I stepped in the classroom for the very first day, I couldn't believe that I could spend the rest of my life doing that and that people would actually pay me to be in the classroom. I decided, you know what, I can influence the world by influencing students.
Dr. Gonzalez went on to win teaching awards at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas. Eventually, Trinity's president promoted him to the role of his special assistant. Then Gonzalez was ultimately recruited at Occidental College in L.A.
About a year and a half ago, I get a call from Kalamazoo College saying we're looking for a new president. So I talked to my wife, and obviously my wife said, yes. She was born in Kalamazoo, and then her father used to work for Upjohn Pharmaceutical. When she was a child, they moved to Mexico, and they lived in Mexico for 6 years. Then they moved to Puerto Rico, again, working for Upjohn. And she pretty much went through all her schooling in Puerto Rico. When she finished high school, she actually came to college at K. So for her, the thought that we could come back to Kalamazoo, and for me being the president, it was just unreal. And we knew that the chances were not that high. K has an incredible reputation in higher education. Well, the dream came true.
There's something I'd like to talk about that was a very transformative experience for you, and that was when you were in your junior year at Monterrey Institute of Technology. You decided to do a study abroad experience here in the United States. And you were at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire.
When you are taken to another place, when you are not a native speaker of the language, when you really do not understand the culture very well, you're in a really vulnerable position. And you rely on the goodwill of others for your basic survival. That teaches you a level of empathy that, unless you live it, is difficult to have. Once you have that experience, almost for the rest of your life and any moment where you are, you're always looking out there, who among the people that I'm looking at might need help? You also learn the importance of interacting with people that they're very different from you by interacting with people that are very different from you. Your efforts as a team are going to be much stronger if you're able to bring those different perspectives to whatever decision you're trying to make.
Can you talk a little bit about why that's important for the world of higher education to make that a priority?
There are many different reasons. And that one of them, our students are going to graduate into a world that is more diverse than ever was in the past. Their parents, their grandparents live in worlds in which they could spend months at a time without interacting with somebody with a different background. That is not the world that our students live in. And so if we're here to prepare students to be able to be effective, to be leaders in society, they need to be able to understand people from different backgrounds. So that is at that level. Another level, you also can talk about the social justice component of diversity. We are a society that we strongly believe that everyone should have equal opportunity to succeed. If we believe in that, and we believe in it profoundly, we need to make sure that every kid in society has access to the educational opportunities that we have here. So colleges need to be ready to welcome students from all backgrounds, and not only welcome them, allowing them to come in, and by that I mean access, is just the beginning. You need to be there to, once they get to your college, provide them the same kind of experience that every other student receives in that college or that university. You need to make sure that if you have opportunities for study abroad, that you have opportunities for research with faculty members, if you have opportunities for internships, that those opportunities are being offered to every kid that comes to your school. Not just to those that had the social capital that when they arrive to your college, they know they should be asking for this. There are many that might be the first in their families to come to college. And if you're the first in the family that comes to college, you're showing up to the doors of your college feels like a tremendous success. And that is success. However, that kid has the same right and the same ability to have an internship, to do research with a faculty member, to go to study abroad. So all these are the things that colleges need to be working on to be able to fulfill our missions.
I'm noticing just across the country, it's also happened at Kay, it's also happened at Occidental College. Students across the country, they're starting to protest now. They're starting to really articulate and form a movement about feeling welcome on campus and making that a priority. And in fact, senior administrators are actually losing their jobs over these types of things. What are some of your thoughts, not just about Kay, but just in general on this topic?
Access is just the beginning. We need to make sure that when students are in the college and they're in the university, they feel that they belong there. So if in many colleges this is not taking place, we need to raise our voices and we need to say, it is time to change. And many times administrators don't see this. Many times they will say, well, look at the numbers. Our percentage of students of color or underrepresented students or first-generation students is this high. Well, that is not enough. And then they will say, well, look at the graduation rate. And we having a graduation rate that is almost the same for every group. That is not enough. All those things are important. We need to focus on the experience in the college campus, an experience that is going to be equal for everybody at that college campus.
Tell us why you were interested in accepting Kay's offer to be president.
To me, the match between my values and the mission of the school could not be stronger. And let me tell you why. And that Kalamazoo is absolutely committed to the liberal arts. And it has been committed for 190 years, or close to 190 years. I strongly believe that in today's world, students need a liberal arts education. Why? The only thing that we know certain about the world that our students are going to graduate into is that it's full of change. We know that because of globalization, we know that because of technological change, there is a over 90% probability that whatever the first job is, whatever industry they start working, is not gonna be the one they're gonna retire from. So what does that mean? That I should not be training my student for the first job in their career. I should be educating them to be ready to change with the world and to be ready to change the world. So to be able to do that, what do they need? They need to learn how to think analytically, to think critically, to look at the world from the prism of different disciplines, to be able to understand people with different cultures, to understand the world. That is a liberal arts education. So going back to your question, the first reason why I'm so excited being at K is because it's committed to liberal arts. But K does liberal arts differently than most other schools. K believes that just learning about liberal arts is not enough. You need to experience the real world at the same time that you're studying. K believes in experiential education. And by that we mean K believes that you should not only study about other countries, you should go and live in another country, that's study abroad. You should not only learn about what's going on in the business world or in the community, you should go there and have an internship in that business. And you should not only study what other people are doing research on, you should engage in research yourself. That's the experiential education that we provide at K. We want you to be involved. Also, we don't want you to simply learn in school about social justice. We want you to cross the street and engage in social issues, social justice issues in society today. That's what we do at K that in my mind is so special. When I studied abroad, that changed my life. So coming to a school that does experience at the core of its own values, at the core of its mission, is a privilege.
As a new president at a college, everyone's probably wondering, what is your style of governance? What is your leadership style? What philosophical approach do you bring to being an academic administrator? What would you say?
Okay, let me answer with an example. And when I talked to the search committee, they asked me, what is your vision for the school? When they asked me that, I said, you know what, I'm going to give an answer that might not be the one that you're expecting. If I were to come right now and tell you this is exactly what K should do, in my mind, that's an incredibly arrogant position to come in. I haven't been at the college. Many of the people that were interviewing me, they've been affiliated with this school for 40 years, for 30 years, for 20 years. To have an outsider that just stepped their foot and that had read some pamphlets on the school tell you this is where you need to go in the future, it is so completely arrogant and so completely wrong. What I told them is, what I plan to do if you were to hire me is to come to the school and go on a listening tour of several months. And during that listening tour, I want to listen to students, I want to listen to faculty, I want to listen to alumni, I want to listen to board members, to community members. And after I listen to all of those, we're going to develop our vision for K. And that's exactly what I'm doing. So going back to your question, what is my style? My style is one that I like to listen to people, to understand what they like to try, to understand what drives them, and then using all that to move the institution forward. We have a lot of very smart people in many different positions at the college. I'm not here to second guess their decisions. I'm here to hire the best people we can for every position that we have at the college and allow them to do their work.
As you understand it, what are some of the challenges facing K moving forward?
And so going forward, what is the biggest challenge? The biggest challenge we face is that the kind of education that we provide, where we have personal attention for every single student, where we provide experiential education opportunities for every single student, that kind of education is very expensive. And very few families in the state, in the country, or the world can afford to pay that kind of education. So if you want to continue to keep our doors open to students from all backgrounds, we must be relentless in going out there and raising money for the college.
Dr. Jorge Gonzalez's inauguration will be Saturday, November 5th. To hear a longer version of this interview, including Dr. Gonzalez talking about the school's increased emphasis on community involvement and the opening of a new fitness and wellness center for students and staff, go online to WMUK.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Marilyn McMichael.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The 60th State House District includes the city of Kalamazoo, as well as parts of the city of Portage and Kalamazoo Township. Alex Ross is the Republican candidate for the seat, which is currently held by Democrat John Hoadley. Alex Ross, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Alma, and then I grew up a lot in Ohio. Of course, I came back as fast as I possibly could to attend school at Kalamazoo College, where, as some of you may know, it isn't exactly the most Republican place in the world. So I was able to hone my ideas and challenge my ideas at Kalamazoo College. And through that, and through the college Republicans, I heard of this opportunity to run for state representative. And I thought that would be a wonderful idea, a good way to serve my community and give back.
Are you still enrolled at K-College?
I am. I'll be graduating next year early. So I think first or second week of March.
And why are you running for State House?
Well, I'm running for State House because I see a huge problem. The biggest problem that I see is that people don't know who their state representative is. And so when they have a problem or have an idea, they don't know who to bring it to or how to get that problem solved. So if you ask your friends or your neighbors, you know, who is your state representative, most of them won't be able to tell you. In fact, one of the biggest questions I've got through this campaign is, what's a state representative? So what I'm interested in is providing an accountable, accessible state representative office. And so I'm planning to implement a deliberative democratic structure, which is essentially that we will have an emphasis on discussion. If I'm elected, I'm going to set up a couple different neighborhood associations. And basically the purpose of a neighborhood association is to allow constituents to gather, discuss ideas, share problems and concerns, and then these neighborhood associations would report directly to me. And so that I could hear all of these concerns on a regular, ongoing basis and be able to address them effectively. And of course, my office would have an open door policy so that people could always come in and let me know what's going on, what they think, how they feel about what legislation's going on. The other change that I would make is that our government needs to have more people who are willing to say, no, that's bad for my district. Sorry, my party, but I'm going to have to side with the people. And so if I'm elected, one of the things that I will strive for is that when analyzing a new piece of legislation, the first question I ask will be, is it good for Kalamazoo? My goal is to put Kalamazoo first, even over top of my party, even over top of my friends and my buddies, even over top of lobbies that want to offer me a lot of money.
You mentioned in your introduction Kalamazoo College not being the easiest place to be a Republican. If people remember your name, it may be from a story now which is over a year old regarding a meeting of the student government. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. I'd like to talk to you about, you know, issues in state government, but I'd like to also give you the opportunity to tell people what your side of that story was and what you think it says about you going forward.
Yeah. Basically, I went to the student government and I said, hey, I think that concealed carry license holders should be allowed to carry their concealed firearms on our campus. Of course, as you know, Michigan allows concealed weapons to be on college campuses except for a select number of places, but leaves it up to the individual campuses to decide whether or not they're going to allow it overall. Of course, Kalamazoo College does not.
Neither does Western.
Yes, yes. So I was asking our student commission to consider supporting allowing licensed concealed carry holders, statistically the least likely to commit a crime, to carry a firearm on our campus. Of course, it got blown out of proportion very quickly after I attended multiple meetings and was essentially told, no, we don't want to be a part of this. We don't even want to discuss it. Highlighting one of the things that I said earlier, I'm very interested in discussion, in reaching a conclusion together. And that's one of the things that the Kalamazoo College Student Commission wasn't so interested in. because of this, a few students took it upon themselves to essentially try to get me to stop. They turned me into security and said, hey, he might have a firearm, which of course I didn't. And upon searching my room, my car, they found that I didn't have a firearm because, as I said, concealed carry license holders are the most law-abiding statistically group of people. They had a Twitter campaign, hashtag unsafe at K, where they basically talked about how there's all these racial problems and that what I was asking for was racist or sexist or homophobic. Essentially, it was a game of trying to take the situation that was at hand and use it to an ongoing campaign that they were working on, something that I don't oppose. So, yeah, that's essentially what happened. The news got involved and made it more of a story than it really should have been. There were a lot of people that were concerned. Of course, there was a threat made against the school shortly thereafter, which I immediately condemned as soon as I had heard that. And it was actually saddening to hear someone use the things that I stand for to threaten people in that way.
What are your thoughts on criminal justice reform?
One of my campaign platform points is the decriminalization of marijuana. And while I personally don't use marijuana, I don't want to use marijuana, and don't plan to use marijuana, I see a huge problem with our citizens being put in jail where we as taxpayers then have to foot the bill for something as benign as marijuana use. And so that's the first thing I'd do, complete decriminalization of marijuana. What this also does is it frees up resources with our local police departments, because if they're not having to police these minor drug offenses, then we can focus more on keeping our community safe. And perhaps that'll keep a lot of the conflicts that we see between our police officers and our citizens on a much less frequent basis. I'm concerned with police violence, and I want police to be held accountable for that. One of the things I absolutely love are sheriff's departments. I have family members who are sheriffs, and the reason that I like sheriffs are that they are democratically elected. And so when a sheriff or one of their deputies does something wrong and it's not addressed in a satisfactory way, we as voting citizens can then vote them out.
We can vote out the sheriff,
yes,
the top executive in that department.
Yes. And so in that way, we as voters have a check on the sheriff's department in a way that we don't quite have with the police department. It's a lot less direct to try to have the head of the police department step down. And that allows a lot more oversight for our sheriff's departments.
So on your website here, you say police departments should be reduced in favor of more democratic solutions, such as sheriff's,
yes,
departments. Isn't that a decision that's ultimately up to local communities about whether or not they want their own police department in their city or if they would rather be under the jurisdiction of a sheriff's department?
Yes, yes. But as a state legislature, I would support legislation that would allow local communities to shift to a more sheriff-centric law enforcement model than a police-centered law enforcement.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with Alex Ross. He is the Republican candidate in the 60th State House District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo. Do you think the state should be spending more money than they currently plan to on roads and infrastructure?
I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to say yes tentatively. Because as a conservative, I want to say, no, we shouldn't be spending more money. But rather, what we should be doing is redirecting money. So I mentioned the idea of decriminalizing marijuana usage. So if we didn't have to pay to house all of those inmates, where could that money go? One option would be to our roads, to our crumbling infrastructure, because our prisons cost a lot of money. So short answer, yes, we should spend more money. Long answer, we shouldn't take that money from the taxpayers. It should instead come from other programs that are wasteful.
Do you expect this to be an expensive campaign on your part?
I'm hoping to not spend a whole lot of money.
Are you seeking donations, raising money, that sort of thing?
Yes, yes. Of course, we didn't have a primary. And so because of that, we kind of put the campaign on a kind of a lower note for a while. But now we're back. We haven't taken any money from lobbies or organizations at this point. And frankly, I don't know if we will, because one of my biggest fears is that I will hand out blank checks and have to keep up with that. And I don't want to do that. That's something that I've watched our legislature do, and it's kind of sickening.
So what would you do about that if you are elected? How do you address that issue of money in politics? Because I think many voters feel the way that you do, that, that there's too much influence. And frankly, every candidate I ask says, yeah, the money has too much influence over public policy.
Well, Michigan has a very nice term limit, which helps a lot because it does kind of reduce the emphasis on maintaining your office for ever and ever and ever. I don't necessarily think that money is bad, because money allows for candidates that are maybe less well known to have a shot. For example, in the last presidential primary on the Republican side, a candidate like Carly Fiorina, who doesn't have a political backing of, say, Jeb Bush, or a candidate, unfortunately, like Donald Trump, who has a lot of money, has a chance at being elected. So money isn't necessarily bad. What's bad is when this money is coming from people who expect something in return. And so really that comes down to honesty and integrity. Do you want a representative who's going to take this money in exchange for clout within the legislature? Or can you trust them to take money so that from people like you who are going to stand up for what you believe in? For example, if a Second Amendment Foundation were to offer me money for my campaign, I would say yes, because what they're asking is going to be part of my core beliefs. It's going to be part of my core constituency's beliefs. But if they ever asked me to do something that was contrary to what would be best for Kalamazoo, the answer will be no.
You said, unfortunately, Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter in any sense of the word.
So as a Republican, what are you planning to do this fall?
Ooh, well, I'm going to vote. That's for sure. Because voting is very important, and I'm very interested in everyone voting. Probably going to look at third-party options. I don't know. I looked at Constitution Party, Libertarians. I don't really like any of the options, but here's what's important. Even if you don't like the presidential candidates and you're not going to vote for them, go to the polls, vote for your state legislature, vote for your state senators, vote for your federal
state
senators.
State senate's not on the ballot this year, but okay.
Oh, well.
But let me ask you this then. As a Republican, are you concerned that your party has nominated a candidate that you find yourself not being able to support in
yes.
the fall?
Yes, yes. When he was nominated, my first thought was, well, gosh, now I'd like to change my registration, because I'm a conservative first. And the Republican Party for a long time represented closely conservative ideals, maybe not perfectly. But when Donald Trump was nominated, we saw a complete shift in the Republican Party from small government conservatives to more of authoritarian populist messages, which isn't the part of the Republican Party that I want to be a part of. Now, of course, I am a Republican because I believe strongly in a republic. I believe in republic ideals, in a divided government with a democracy overall, to best protect our individual rights and to best provide freedom and to best provide prosperity.
Alex Ross, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Alex Ross is the Republican candidate for the 60th State House District. That includes the city of Kalamazoo, as well as parts of the city of Portage and Kalamazoo Township. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.